Thank you for joining us and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. It's the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're yelling at your Google Home,
we'll
be caching in the Northwest.
That means it's time to bring in our obsequious orangutan. Some say he's an uncredited extra on the TV show The Office, and others say he is so sharp, his parents never let him play with balloons. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
It's me. I'm so glad to be back here. And not only am I back, I'm back with my buddy Jim, and I'm back with my buddy Chris. And, you know, we got all three hosts on tonight. It's like a blue moon kind of occurrence lately on this podcast.
Blue moon.
I'm really happy to have you guys here to be all together. Going to have a fun night. We're going to have an awesome, great podcast. Before we get into it, we want to have a quick reminder that we do also appreciate the support of our patrons who keep coming back every week and helping this podcast keep getting produced. And, you know, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This week, we are going to talk about the Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge. We're going to recap some of our adventures. We're going to talk about some of the other stuff that's related to it and speculate and make up stories.
I'll have to make up stories because sadly I couldn't join you, but I'm sure there's some great stories. And if you have great stories, well, throw some nuggets out in the chat, whether during the show or in the after show. We will try to get to everything we can. We love your contributions.
Nuggets like chicken or gold? Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I'm hungry. Thanks so much. But before we dig into the Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge, let's go, let's glow, shall we?
Let's go glow.
For those of you joining us that are new to the podcast, the glow is the geocaching log of the week, GLOW. And we'd like to contribute those, read those out every week. If you've got some great ones, send them in, won't you please? This one comes to us from, who does it come from?
Uncle Casher.
Uncle Casher. Great. And the glow reads, greetings. I'm not from the Northwest, but I hope to visit in the future. And by all means, do come visit. I do enjoy your podcast. Thank you. And it was great to meet you at GigaStock. I was visiting Devil's Lake, Wisconsin last week and ran across the following log while posting my own log for GCZ56T Devil's Curse. Sounds dangerous.
I have chills already.
I know. It says, well, let's actually step back in time to before we started out for this one. We were on our way down from Devil's Lake, WGA State Park Series, on the trail that headed down along the cliff bottoms to the lake. We were about halfway down, and we spotted something red up on the rocks at the base of the cliffs. It looked a lot like a human. Motionless, limp, slumped over a large boulder below the cliffs. We quickly pondered what to do, and I yelled, hey! To which I got no response. Kind of like the Google Home yell that Land Monkey did a few minutes ago. The three of us looked at each other, then said, let's go, boys. The adrenaline was starting to pump as we scrambled under logs and over boulders getting closer. I was about halfway there and pulled out my phone to call 911. Canooter 125 headed out in front to be the first on scene. We were hollering at the bodies we approached, and about 20 feet out, Canooter yelled some more as he saw a fly crawling over the dude's arm, his head slumped down out of sight. One last yell, and the guy woke up. I tell you, how many times is there a non-responsive body sprawled out on a boulder at the base of a cliff with a fly crawling over him that isn't hurt or dead? The guy mumbled, this is my rock, and laid back down to sleep or whatever he was up to. That was not cool. So we decided to jog down along the tracks to burn off all the energy our bodies had conjured up after that ordeal. We enjoyed jogging the rails to see how many consecutive steps we could balance, then cut off toward the cache. We got up to GZ and started the search. This could maybe be nasty. I tell you, the sap all over things around here was nasty. It actually didn't take too long to find this one, given its logical spot and nice size. We signed our names and then headed down to the lake for a nice dip to cool off. Brisk, yes, but It was a nice swim for September. And as Chris from the Northwest mentioned, that was contributed by Uncle Casher from Burlington, Kentucky.
Hmm. Wow. Burlington, Kentucky.
We'll just assume that Burlington is in the northwest part of Kentucky, so he can...
There you go.
It's northwest of somewhere.
There's not a lot of northwest Kentucky. That part of Kentucky just kind of doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, it's northwest of somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's a listener, and so we appreciate that.
Exactly. So thank you, Uncle Casher. I love the line, how many times is there a non-responsive body sprawled out on a boulder at the base of a cliff with a fly crawling over him that isn't hurt or dead?
One, I suppose.
I could count on one hand. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you know, it's one of those things I've never come across, and I don't necessarily want to.
Yeah, I hope not to myself, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I sadly heard recently up here we had another incident where somebody came across a person deceased on an urban trail. So it was kind of scary. But yeah, so I mean, it happens.
It does.
You know, what do? You do the right thing. You do like Uncle Casher and his friends did. You try and help. You get ready to call 911, and you wake somebody up from their nap. I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
Boy, hey, folks, Uncle Casher found the cash he was looking for, but maybe you didn't find that cash you were looking for. Don't forget, we have a DNF Avengers contest. We have some great prizes we're going to give away next week. Now, next week is the last week you're going to be able to enter this. So make sure you enter the DNF Avengers contest.
Right on. So how do you enter?
Well, all you need to do, share your story of an avenged DNF using the hashtag DNF Avengers, send it at CachingNW on Twitter, email us at feedback@CachingNW. We will reshare your story. Tweet your story, or if you have, maybe you've done a blog post on your website about your DNF Avengers story, you can send us a link to that. Post your story on Facebook, tag us in that. Just some way, get out there, use that hashtag DNF Avengers. We want to hear about DNFs that you have avenged.
That's right. And every entry is going to get a very special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching profile. You know, this is a limited edition badge because once the contest is over, it won't be used again and you won't get it for your profile. So some of you may even win some prizes. The rules are over at landmonkey.blogspot.ca. So head on over there. Tell us what you know.
Rules? We don't need no stinking rule.
Where we're going, we don't need rules.
I prefer to think of them as guidelines.
There you go. Nice. All right. Well, do we have any news? Anything we want to talk about before we get into tonight's main topic?
No.
No? You're good?
I don't think. Well, no. I don't know.
Yes, we do.
Oh, you know, we do.
It's not something we can see, but we want to talk about it.
We can't see it because it's hidden.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, the Hidden Creatures promotion from geocaching.com started, well, yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's June the 27th. If you're listening to this next week, then it started last week. Still on June 27th. Oddly enough, whenever you listen to this podcast, the promotion started on June 27th. But since we are now past June 27th, we are into the Hidden Creatures promotion.
So you're saying June 27th is a fixed point in time?
Apparently so.
Okay.
At least for 2018.
Everything else is relative.
There you go. So, souvenirs. Jim's question was, has anybody earned any souvenirs so far? So over in the chat, I see a few folks have gotten up to their dragon.
That's 50 caches they found.
Mines in 2 days. That's pretty
dragon. Good. That's pretty
impressive. I saw a dragon. Sorry.
Yeah, Iham's up to Sphinx. Stark Casher's got the Bigfoot.
Nice.
Broncos Fans for Life has a dragon and
Toodler.
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 Keepers of the Cash Flow. I like him. Has nothing.
No thing.
Oh, no thing.
That's where I'm at right now. Is I have not earned any yet. But
what?
I'm
land we're monkey
ourselves because we're coming up on our next milestone. We're saving it for Iceland.
So. I see. Knowing the land monkeys, they will go to zero to full bore in nothing flat.
Like so. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, but we'll talk about that later in the show when we talk Absolutely. About cities.
Yeah. Well, land monkey.
Yo.
Wits End and I have to brag for just a moment.
Okay, get in there.
We have more souvenirs than you do right now.
I bet you do.
Hidden creature souvenirs.
As I say, I don't know about that in total, but...
We went out and found a cache today at lunch.
Yeah.
So we found Bigfoot.
Ooh.
And I'm saying Bigfoot wasn't hard to find. I don't know why. You know, people have been looking for years for Bigfoot. I found him at lunch.
Was he under a lamp skirt?
He was actually just down the trail past the homeless tent. As you would expect Bigfoot to be.
He would be. You caught me with a mouthful of water there.
Right next to the discarded gas pipe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sadly, the condom wrappers. But never mind those.
What the heck has Bigfoot been doing?
We don't want to know.
We don't want to know. Nonetheless, yes, we found a cache today.
Nice. Congrats, guys. Good job. Keep it
Thank
up.
You.
All right. Well,
so that puts us two away from a ferry. And I'm talking a boat because on Sunday
we'll be on a ferry very soon.
Yeah,
there you go. Awesome.
Maybe it was a homeless guy, not a Bigfoot. Says bounce, bounce. Maybe it was a homeless guy with big feet. I don't know.
Could be hairy big feet. Awesome. Hey, what else have we got going on here? So, well, why don't we start talking about tonight's topic?
Okay.
And the folks in the chat are having fun talking about their souvenirs, which is great. So, congrats to everybody who has gotten started on their hidden creatures. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. It is meant to be fun. Yeah. Make the best out of it.
Yeah. Go somebody said they really like the artwork on this one.
Well, that's, you know, a couple episodes ago, we were talking to one of our friends from HQ and she was saying the biggest thing about this one, they feel is the artwork. And
nice.
That's neat. I've seen some people posting the artwork from their souvenirs on Twitter and yeah, it's pretty amazing. Awesome. Well, speaking of amazing, we were just in the Tri-Cities and we did the Tri-Cities GeoCoin Challenge 2018, the Taste of the Tri-Cities, and had a lot of fun. Wits End, I really wish you could have been there with us.
It would have. Yeah, one of these days, I have yet to make a Tri-Cities GeoCoin Challenge. I've heard lots of great stories and I expect to hear more great stories tonight, but every year it seems there's just some conflict I've not been able to get over there for that. So someday I'll surprise you. I'll just show up and not even tell you.
You would surprise us if you were there.
Surprise you if I actually did any geocaching. Actually, people would just fall over in shock, I think, if I actually went and did anything. But
you, someday you did geocaching today.
What was that?
He did geocaching today.
I did. It's true.
And I didn't even fall over. Now I tripped,
yeah,
but I didn't fall over.
I'm on a streak now of one.
That's a good start. That's the best way to start a streak. All right. Well, so maybe what we can do is if there is anybody listening to this podcast who isn't familiar with the Tri-Cities area, why don't we start off by just give a really brief description, guys, of where it is. Kind of at a very high level, quick, what the Tri-Cities is. It's over there.
It's over there.
And actually, it's back down there.
No, no, it's over there.
No, it's over there. listen.
Southeast corner of the state.
There you go.
Ish, right?
I'd like to say we're
some river. People could say South Central.
Yeah, South Central, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pasco, Richland,
Kennewick, and West Richland.
And the four cities. So all four of the Tri-Cities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We don't do math good.
The Tri-Cities are really there because of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Big old...
We didn't mention Hanford.
Hmm?
We mentioned Richland, Pasco, Kennewick, and West Richland. We didn't mention Hanford.
Well, because the town of Hanford was evacuated just around World War II, and they wanted to start doing the Manhattan Project to build the first atomic bomb. They determined that the city of Hanford was in a perfect location with the river and the desert and the nothing else around it part to start doing this. And they took the people of Hanford and said, guess what? We're buying you new houses in the town of Richland. Come on, let's move you.
You know, I've only spent a little time in the Tri-Cities area. And the one thing I remember over there is that there's a whole lot of the nothing else around it. That's pretty prevalent in the Tri-Cities, actually.
Yeah. If you count tumbleweeds, you'd have a good time. Yeah. There are a lot of tumbleweeds to count, but there's not a lot else.
Well, I would say from our recent trip that Mulder Clan and Case Mond, caching friends of mine, are really good at counting tumbleweeds.
Mm.
So they got some practice.
Good. I happened to live in the Tri-Cities for 3 years, I believe. And, you know, I really enjoyed my time there. It's a nice little town. You get a lot of engineers and scientists from the site that live in that area. So it's very different feel. You know, there's not a lot of homeless because, well, why would they want to be there? Because you had to go a long way to get there. So it tends to be an upscale town, unfortunately, out there in the middle of nowhere, just because you've got the scientists and the engineers who, you know, make a decent wage. So everything costs a little more to live there. But spud nuts were still quite reasonable price. Yeah.
Spud nuts were good. I was impressed.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you, Chris of the Northwest, for introducing me to spud nuts.
You're welcome. So, Wits End, what do you think of when we say Tri-Cities?
Tri-Cities, I think of Bombing Range Road.
Bombing Range Road.
Yeah. There actually is a Bombing Range Road in the Tri-Cities.
Yes, there is.
This is the first year that we didn't end up driving down Bombing Range Road to find one of the caches.
Yeah.
There's none down that way this year.
Chris has a t-shirt from the Richland Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mushroom Cloud. I don't know very many.
Should have worn it tonight.
Teams or organizations whose mascot is a mushroom cloud. That's rather unique, actually.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you the story in the after show.
Yeah. I think of Tri-Cities. I think of visiting you when you lived there. I think of heat. Yeah. And I think of Geocoin challenges that I've sadly not been able to participate in.
Well, that's true.
Well, one of the other things to think of, we mentioned spud nuts earlier, and Keats in the chat here has asked, what are spud nuts? And it's not sput nuts, it's spud with a D, nuts. They're donuts made from potato flour, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Spud would be potato, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've been there all the years that I've known the Tri-Cities. I don't know how many years old they are, but when I was there, people had to try, you know, you had to have spud nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
And so people would come to work with a box of spud nuts and there you go.
Yeah. They were good. I mean, they're like, you know, I guess like when you did the Butler County donut tour, it's like that kind of quality of, boutique donut, I guess you would say. Definitely noticed when we spent a lot of time on this trip driving on the outskirts and the farmlands, they grow a lot of potatoes and a lot of corn and a lot of wheat in the outskirts, outer parts.
The, you know, the ground out there will grow anything if you can get water to it. So
it grows a lot of tumbleweeds.
Yeah. Well, that you can grow that without water.
Comment in the chat says Ireland meets Timmy's.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
they're the vodka of donuts.
Ooh, Okay, now I'm interested.
Now you're in.
Like, what? Hello?
All right. So, well, we'll switch gears back to the Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge. This year for us was, I think it was our fourth, it was either our fourth or fifth year for the monkeys coming down. As I said before, the theme this year was Taste of the Tri-Cities, and they do a theme every year, which is kind of fun. We'll talk about that a little bit more shortly. Kind of the big thing, the big draw that brings everybody there is twofold. One, it's a mega event. So everybody loves to get out there and get your mega event souvenir. And the second and probably the biggest draw is the coin or coin set you earn from doing this event. And every year they just keep surprising us. The planning team and JD, what's the name of their new coin company?
It's Compass Creek Designs.
Compass Creek. I knew it had to do with a body of water. I was gapping on that. Thank you. Compass Creek Coin Designs every year participating in putting something together and just gets better and better every year.
I'm looking in my collection here to see if I have back in the old days when you just got one coin for doing it. And I don't see that. I mean, but you know, for the last several years, it has been multiple coins in a set or that combine to make something else. And, you know, the coins really are setting the standard. They are incredible design and
creative.
You know, and creative, yeah.
Yep. So, all right. So one of the other things we did when we were down there is Chris and I got to sit down with Jen. The leader of the organization of the event, and got to have a little exclusive chat with her about this year and next year.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and listen to that because you're tired of listening to us already.
Doesn't take long.
I know. Well, here we are after a beautiful day in the Tri-Cities. We have Jen with us, and Jen, thank you so much for the 2018 Geocoin Challenge here in the Tri-Cities. We really appreciate it. I mean, all the caches were unique and inventive, and I want to say thank you.
My pleasure. A lot of fun. Amazing volunteers that did an amazing job out there.
Fantastic.
And they're the one that placed all those caches, so they get the kudos for all the imagination and everything.
So, Jen, speaking of the volunteers and the imagination and the caches, what was the theme for this year?
Taste of the Tri-Cities.
Yes. So we noticed the theme as we were finding the caches.
Of course.
Do you want to talk about that? How did those ideas come up?
They have some crazy minds. That's how they came up. They have great imaginations. Honestly, they did it. The volunteers, they looked at the area, thought of the ideas, what would fit, just like the barbecue.
Like a barbecue in the middle of a parking lot. Yep. That's a perfect fit.
And that
an easy bake oven? Come on.
Right? Exactly. I mean, the one for the barbecue, they saw a picnic table near the parking lot. Well, a picnic table, Taste of the Tri-Cities. Oh, hey, let's throw a barbecue next to the picnic table. That's how the ideas just
kept rolling. I
love
the touch on the barbecue where they spray painted it camel in the middle of the parking lot.
I almost missed it.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Right, where? Okay. No. So, yes, it was awesome.
I love the fact that the code words were replaced with dollar values for the food items, so the passport looked like a menu.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Tri-Cities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, neat. That was really cool. Also, speaking of the volunteers, when you did the announcements at the lead-off this morning, one of the things we noticed is you actually had a representative from law enforcement here. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. You know, we have actually more police officers doing the challenge, and so it's fun to get their feedback. And so by talking to them, it made me think, you know, Pasco does such a great job on their Facebook page in joking and having fun with the public. And the way people speed out of the park here, I thought, you know, let's call them and see if we can get somebody here to talk. And he's like, I would love to. So, and he did. He did an amazing job. You know, I'm sure they were still speeding around. But, hey, at least we had somebody there talking to everybody in a fun way.
Exactly. And in a fun way, yeah. And I think that was one of the things we noticed is that you've tried to make that point every year we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of flies over the heads a little bit.
Oh, of course.
But when you have, so first of all, law enforcement with the sidearm.
Yep, exactly.
Giving the message. Mm-hmm. But he gave the message in such a fun way that it really stuck for everybody. So that was such a great volunteer to have come out and give that message for, it was Pasco?
Pasco, yes. Mm-hmm.
Neat. Yep.
And cool. It's good to know, I mean, we know that you contact the police department and let them know what's going on, but to have a representative here gives us the thing. They know what's going on. Okay, so if they see people doing things that look a little odd, it's those geocacher people.
Yeah, those crazy people.
Yeah.
They come here once a year. Yes.
Yep. But that was neat. So overall, most people have come back for their coin now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the day's kind of wrapping up. I know you got a few things to go yet this evening. But what's your sense of how the day has wrapped up or how the day has progressed to this point?
You know, I've heard nothing but positive feedback. People have had a blast. You know, there's always something that goes wrong in events, but for all in all, to see everybody coming back happy, they've enjoyed themselves, got to get a taste of the Tri-Cities. You know, I couldn't ask for a better time, especially seeing how people just coming back smiles, happy, excited to see it. Oh, another one under my belt.
Right.
Hey, now I'm ready for the 10th one. You know?
Yes. Well, as an attender and a cacher, I didn't see any problems. So I have to say, from my point of view, it went off without a hitch.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a few maybe minor bumps for us, but it's all in the way of geocaching and having organize an event not anywhere near this size. I am highly empathetic to the struggles and trials, but at the same time, like you said before with the volunteers, you surround yourself with great volunteers. Every volunteer I've interacted with has been happy and smiling and super helpful.
Yes.
So you've got a great bunch of people helping you out.
I do. I love them. They're awesome.
Which I guess leads up to maybe the last question I have, which is next year?
Next year? Yep. We're doing it. So next year is our 10th year. So 10th, it's got to be big right there, right?
Right.
And so our theme is STEAM.
Science, technology,
engineering, arts, and math.
Okay.
So that's our theme. So go big. It's also the 75th anniversary of Hanford, we are going to be involved with them as well.
Really?
So hopefully we can get a little more science and all of that.
Nice. Go in the dark geocaches?
Who knows? We already have ideas rolling, so we've already been talking to the JD and Lisa about that.
For the coin,
yes.
Nice.
So it's going to be the last full weekend in June. I think the Sunday is the 30th, so it's that weekend.
Oh, so a little later this year.
Yep, it'll be a little bit later.
Yeah. Okay, or next year, I should say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So put it on your calendar.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, we can start planning the day off
definitely.
Now.
Definitely.
Yes, and we'll even be bigger.
So, I mean, even now, I noticed that the Bee Reactor tours were open this weekend. Specifically, and I was like, you know, that's that. If you haven't been to that, you can go out to Bee Reactor out there on the Hanford site, on the Hanford Reach. It's a great history tour.
Yes, Very cool. So hopefully we can get more involved.
So that might be tying into next year's event.
Yes.
Very cool.
Hopefully. Keep our fingers crossed.
That's right.
Very neat.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you again. Like we say, we are very thankful that you're spearheading this. And it turned out so good this year.
Well, thank you guys for coming. I enjoyed seeing you guys every year.
Thanks.
Okay, we're here. And we jumped into the next one. We'll hold off on that one.
Yeah, sounds good. But that was awesome. It was a really good chat with Jen. A little hard maybe for you guys to hear because there was wind plus a couple hundred people. So
yeah.
Was not recorded in a studio.
No, and didn't have the nice studio mics to isolate voices, but you get the idea. You know, Jen does a great job, but the Tri-Cities would not happen without the army of volunteers.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to say, everybody was having fun and smiling. Volunteers were amazing, super helpful and fun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was well done. As Land Monkey said, all the volunteers were happy. I think a lot of that has to do with the temperature this year. It was a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
Was it in double digits instead of the triple digits this time?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Just double digits. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Or for me, it stayed in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good. The weather was great. Yeah, the caches were neat. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit. You know, Jen had alluded to maybe a few little bumps during the event. I know there was a minor challenge with the food trucks, but, you know, they circumvented and got around that and did a great job. Everybody still had fun. I think the biggest impact was something that was completely out of the control of the event planners.
Definitely. You know, we were out finding caches and a fellow cacher came up to us and said, my phone just died. Can I follow you to the next cache? I'm like, sure. If, you know, we don't know if we're going your way. So come on over to the car. Let's look at your passport. Let's look at ours and determine where we're going next, because, you know, we don't want you to follow us around to places you've already been. And sure enough, they were doing the tour backwards from us. So if they had followed us, it would have been all to the previous spots they'd already been. And we're like, oh, really? Sorry. You know, I don't know what we can do to help. And we went on to the next cache, and there we came across a lackey and found out that, sure enough, the geocaching app had crashed.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was out for everyone. I was using Cachely and offline mode, so I didn't care. I didn't, you know, I never connected to the geocaching app or really online for most of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were caching by GPSR, so it wasn't an issue for us, but there were a few minor glitches with getting the caches loaded onto the GPSR first thing in the morning for us, but we got through it, and with the teamwork, we got it done. So that worked well. But yeah, Scott in the chat, GSMX2, it's OMG, the app crashed. That's really too bad. It was. There's a lot of people who got hosed over. Although I did think what was funny, now those people who ended up with challenges, it was only down for like an hour,
I think. Something, yeah. It wasn't down that long, but it was enough that it was frustrating. You know, if you didn't save them offline, you were working online because, well, why not? That's the way to do it now. Yeah.
There you go. Lesson learned. Always cache offline. Mm-hmm.
But when you have 700 people hitting the same servers trying to get caching coordinates or a list of caches from the geocaching website, yeah, that creates a little bit of problem.
Well, okay. Yes and no. I mean, it's not like it's the only time there's been 700 people hitting their servers, right? I mean, you get some weekends, like when they start some of their promotions and such, you get quite a heavy hit. So I wouldn't say that it was necessarily load, I don't think. But you know, it is unfortunate, but fortunately people were able to work through it. The funniest part of that particular situation I found was when we did bump into the lackey and they acknowledged that they were aware of the problem and that their colleagues were in the office working on it immediately, which was good news, but their first comment was, it wasn't me.
So,
it wasn't me and I have witnesses. On the positive side, one of the things we definitely enjoyed were the social aspects of a mega event.
Yeah.
Got to talk with lots of our caching friends. A lot of familiar faces, our old caching friends, and met a few new folks while we were out on the run, but also back at the event itself. Folks that I was talking with: Three Hams, Brylang, Casemon, Mulder Clan, Baja Betty and Rust Picker, Rock Chalk and Mrs. Rock Chalk, Kid Vegas 19, Lookout Lisa, Jen, of course, Hiking Seal from Utah was there. Chatted with her, Billy Robson from Calgary. And of course, well, our friends from Team Squirrel.
You know what? Billy Robson, that's the only place I see him, is the Tri-Cities Geocoin event. But we got an opportunity to sit down with Broncos Fan for Life and Sprouter and ask them about the Geocoin Challenge, because they They seem to do it in, you know, 15 minutes flat. I don't know how they do it. But like I said, we had a chance to talk with them. So let's go listen to that audio.
Okay, we're here with Broncos Fan for Life and Sprouter. And we just completed the Tri-Cities GeoCoin Challenge 2018. Guys, give me your impression. What do you think?
I had a great time this year. I thought the theme was fun. They maintained it throughout all the caches. We found a refrigerator in the middle of the desert. There was no cold drinks in it. That was disappointing. But we had a good time.
It worked for Indiana Jones to have a be in a refrigerator, but that's different.
also in the desert.
Yeah, exactly. So the passport this year looked like a menu, and instead of code words, there were prices.
Yes, correct. We had a game going.
Well, what was the game?
Try to guess the price
before we got to it.
Based on what the food was.
Nice. How often did you get it?
We got zero.
How often were you close?
We were close a couple times.
Okay.
The problem was like Gouda mac and cheese, right? That's an adult mac and cheese. An expensive dish, right?
Right.
Like $10.
But it was like $4.50. Yeah. It must have been the kids' version.
Yeah, it must have been.
Or what we've learned is that if you want to go out for a nice dinner, drive down to the Tri-Cities.
Exactly.
True.
You can get Gouda mac and cheese at $4.50 somewhere in the Tri-Cities, let me know.
You know what? We should have done some sort of challenge of whoever found the cash gets that dollar amount, and the person at the end of the day with the greatest dollar amount would win.
That would be the T-Bone steak cash. That was the highest dollar.
Yeah, there was a point where prices were really starting to climb quickly the way we did it. I thought, I can't afford to keep doing this.
I think we started with the desserts first. And we went to the appetizers.
Because life is short.
Yes.
Start with desserts.
That's right. Yes.
That was Mrs. Mundy saying that she's in for dessert first.
Of course. That's the way we should do it.
Yeah.
So, for next year, first question, do you guys think you're going to come back again next year?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's a really good
question. 6 years straight for me.
This is my fourth year.
Nice. Okay. So, did you do all the caches?
Yes.
All 32?
Yeah. And the bonus.
And the bonus. And the
lab
caches, there were 20 of them this year.
Yes.
Did you do poker run?
Yes.
Wow. You did all the caches.
We did all the caches.
And is there any ones I've forgotten about?
We just didn't do the tribute cache.
Ah, right. Okay.
So that's the one we missed.
And I did some earth caches, too.
Did I tell you you're my favorite?
Way to score points with the monkeys.
If you went to the earth cache, I wanted to go to without me.
Oh. That's terrible.
I saw owls at it.
Oh, that's nice.
That's cool. And we're planning to do some earth caches on our way out.
Okay, well, thank you guys for talking with us.
Yeah.
Weather today wasn't too bad.
No, it was nice, actually.
Not melt the face off a Nazi.
Right.
No, that was the first year I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Melt the face off a Nazi.
Yeah. And if you needed to be in that refrigerator, go away.
They added the Survivor games this year, too.
That's right. Good point.
That was fun because our team's in the top.
Oh.
We're competing for the final.
Team Squirrel?
Yep.
All right. So there you go. More Team Squirrel.
Hashtag Team Squirrel.
Hashtag Team Squirrel.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for the time to talk with us.
Yeah.
Anytime, guys.
Always good to talk with Team Squirrel.
Yeah, it's nice to get somebody else's insight as well on what they thought of the event and the caches and everything. And it was creative. I don't think a lot of the caches are going to last long past the event. But I don't think that's necessarily the idea. They're not intended to be out there for 2 years. They're out there really for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it fun. I love the bonus cache at the end. It was very clever. In order to find the bonus cache, you had to go to a table where they had some papers laid out, and you used your coin and followed the instructions on the papers to solve a code that the coin actually, because the plate spins, and there was actually writing on the plate and around the plate.
It was a secret decoder coin.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a secret decoder plate. And you would use that to sort out the code to enter the cache, and they had hidden the coordinates somewhere on the table. It was on the bottom of a plate, but that's okay. But then when you get out, they had created out of an old cabinet, they had made a little mini dishwasher. And when you pulled the rack out on the dishwasher, it was loaded with paper plates, and the paper plates were the log that you would sign.
Cool.
I thought that was a really good finish for it. It was fun.
Yeah. Each one, well, not each one. There were many, many caches that were themed for food. There was a microwave oven sitting out there with a tin that looked like a pizza. There was an easy bake oven. When's the last time you saw an easy bake oven? There was,
it's been a while.
Yeah, there was that grill, a full grill, camouflage painted, sitting in the middle of a parking lot. As we mentioned, there was a refrigerator out in the middle of a desert. There was a coffee pot. All I'm thinking is somebody was moving and their possessions got lost and Jen took them and hid them out in the desert.
Maybe the whole thing was a practical joke on one of her coworkers.
Yeah. Ooh.
Goes, wait, where is everything in my house?
Well, all I have is this piece of paper with a whole bunch of coordinates. I don't understand.
I should say that the refrigerator was a play, a children's play refrigerator. So it wasn't a full-sized one. What were some of the others, Land Monkey?
Well, there was the barbecue in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. That was a real full-size barbecue. That was funny. You talked about the coffee pot that was by the submarine con tower, that was hilarious. We get to that point and I had never been to that particular park before. I'm checking out the submarine con tower and taking pictures and everything. And Chris and Mrs. Monkey are just headed straight for the cache. I'm like, okay, you guys can find the cache. I'm checking out this submarine con tower. I've never seen something like this. That was so cool. So.
Oh, we see it all the time. And yeah, the captain was fired for parking his boat there in the desert.
That was funny. One of the things we talked about is lab caches.
Mm-hmm.
There was, as you mentioned, there was 20 mm-hmm. lab caches, which was a lot. I think that was the first year there was that many.
You know, I'm seeing this trend. Okay, so at Geo Woodstock, there were 30 lab caches, three series of 10.
Right. But they were all in the park.
They were all in the park. There were 20 lab caches at the Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge. I think, you know, that. So for me, you know, within a month, I've gotten 50 lab caches. Is that too many lab caches? Should they be limited to 10 or 5? Or what's the right number for lab caches?
So I'm going to ask a question. Does it matter? Like, is there any rule you have to find all the lab caches?
No.
No, you don't have to, but is it diluting lab caches to have that many? It's like, they're not so special anymore. Oh, wait, there's only 10 at this event? There were 20 or 30 before, so I don't know if I want to go just find 10.
You know, you make a good point, and I think one of the reasons why the lab caches were great at this event is because they were creative. There were a bunch of them were goblin dust. There was at least one, if not more, that were bounce. So you know right then that these are going to be creative and cool and fun. And it's not just going to be a piece of paper taped on a wall with a QR code or a code word on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are fine. I mean, they count as a find, right? But it's not fun.
That's right.
Like a bounce cache or a goblin dust cache were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the cool thing is when you have those kind, because often those are so clever and creative that they're really hard to put out and maintain as an actual normal geocache. So they're perfect for lab caches.
Right. Right. Broncos fan says, Groundspeak upped the quantities this year. So 20 for a mega event or a Megan event. Mm-hmm. And sorry, it was a typo. And 30 for gigas. So.
Okay.
Well, there you go. And Sprouter said if the lab caches are good, then it's definitely worth it. And I agree. And and Sprouter says Tri-Cities this year was pretty awesome for the mm-hmm. for the event and for the lab caches. So they, again, you know, just the creativity on them was great. I had a lot of fun with those. Yeah, 20 is a lot. But, you know, like they do with a lot of things at HQ, they try something out. They look at the feedback, they wait and hear what people say, and then they adjust. They're really good with that at HQ. So I would say if you found at any event you've gone to, a mega or giga event you've gone to, that you were overwhelmed with the lab caches, or you were unimpressed with the types of lab caches or whatever it was, get that feedback back to HQ, let them know, and constructively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Politely.
Right.
But yeah, they are very responsive at HQ. Give them credit for that.
There you go. So,
Seebeck Tries says, good ones are awesome. I want to find them all and don't want to miss a single one.
There you go.
And, you know, really, they're usually, they don't follow the rules of, you know, every 528 feet. So they can be much closer together and still within a park and easy to find. But yeah, I don't know. I look at it and go, 20, really? It just seems unusual. I would say 10, go for higher quality. Then by the time you hit 20, you think, okay, now what can I do?
Well, and I think that's a really good point, because I think, you know, reflecting on the Giga event where there was 30, now they're all contained within the event site, which made them easier to find. Mm-hmm. And they were three sets of 10. The gadget type ones were awesome. Everyone was a little bit different. They were all creative and I enjoyed those. The augmented reality was great for the first couple, and then it got really repetitive because you're just doing the exact same thing. And, you know, and I'm going to acknowledge the point where people were having problems with the technology. It wasn't working on their phones and such. So I think 10 of those was too much. The I call them history lab caches, where you go and find a plaque or a sign and, you know, it says, oh, what's the, you know, the date that this person was born, or what's the, you know, eighth word in this sentence. Those are okay for a couple of them if there's something really interesting historical you're going to. But again, if you just keep bringing people to signs on the wall, or, you know, who made this and what was the name of the company that manufactured this thing, it gets dull after a while. So do a couple of those, do a couple of the augmented reality or, you know, whatever. But don't do like 10 of the same thing, 10 of the same thing. At least, like I said, at the Giga, the techno caches, if I'll call them that, the gadget caches were really enjoyable. And again, Goblin Dust and Bounce just superseded the expectations when we were down at Sacagawea Park for Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge.
Every time they're involved, they knock it out of the park, both of them. Yeah. So having them together was, you know, kind of mind blowing.
I've heard a rumor they'll both be involved again next year.
Oh, nice. Three Ham says having two separate web pages for the two sets of 10 lab caches each was kind of annoying. Broncos fan says, I agree about the separate web pages, but they only let you do 10 in each set in the builder.
Okay.
There you go.
And GSM times two, I completely agree with him. If you're not enjoying doing them, stop it. Stop doing them.
There you go.
Well, of course, we all want all of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, they're officially cash fines, so yeah, we're going to go out and do them.
But yeah, it's just advice for anybody who's thinking about putting them out. To try, and I know it's hard work to try and keep them creative. Just get a pool of really good people like Goblin Dust, Bounce, whoever you can together, and try not to be repetitive with them is all I'm saying. It keeps it a little more interesting for the cachers. So yeah, you don't have to do them. Everybody wants to do them, so make it an enjoyable experience.
Exactly. Let's just talk to HQ and say that Bounce and Goblin Dust are required to do the caches for all lab caches from this point on.
Okay.
There you go. Seems like a good rule. All right. So maybe we'll talk about even beyond the event itself, just the weekend in general.
There was more?
Well, it depends. This was the first year we went down early. Normally, we kind of roll into town late Friday night, get up Saturday morning, do the event, and then roll back out of town late Saturday night. So this was the first time we actually came in and stayed and really, really enjoyed it. So we rolled in Thursday night. We got in there late. We cached our way down. Hit a few interesting spots. Mrs. Monkey was working on a specific challenge. So we went out of our way to find specific rest stops because we were doing the Gladder Bladder Challenge. which is a lot of fun. But and we completed that challenge over the weekend, so that was fun. But anyways, rolled into Sacagawea Park, Sacagawea State Park, Thursday night, camped there. Got up early Friday morning, met up with Brylang, Three Hams, Mulder Clan, Case Mond, and we all did some power caching south of Kennewick. Anybody who's looked at the map can see the big old trails of caches following the farm roads and the old highway there.
It's so. The BOT caches. Big old trails.
Yeah, big old trails. There you go. And yeah, they're, you know, dirt roads, paved roads, all kinds of different stuff. It's power caching, right? So it's not glamorous. Some of them are harder than others, but it's a neat area. And at one point we were way up on the, I think it's called the Jump Off Joe area, way up on the top of the ridge where all the cell towers and dishes are, and by the wind turbines as well. I have some neat pictures, but the view from up there was absolutely amazing. You can just see, you know, as the Who would say, for miles and miles and miles.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. But so that was fun. That was a big, long day. Then Saturday, we spent the day with Chris of the Northwest. We learned that the Tri-Cities has changed, apparently.
I've heard.
Every year. Hey, this is different. Hey, I really worked hard to limit myself. I caught myself saying, I was like, oh, yeah, they don't want to hear that. It's like, okay, I've got to do it one more time. When I lived here, there wasn't dirt out in some of these areas. So that's different.
My favorite was, as we drive past the road, wow, when I lived here, that road was straight. To which my response was, yeah, I can see the old road there. And we're turning now.
It's like, whoa, why are you turning? Oh, wait, the road doesn't go straight anymore.
It was always fun to cache with you, Chris.
Yeah, you're great. Just saying that to be nice. You follow that with bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, then we all rolled back to the event after that. And Chris, you were able to hang out with us for a while until it got just too late for, and you had to head home, right?
You know, I think for 2 hours I said, I got to go. But it was just so nice to hang out with you guys and talk and catch up with cashers that it, and the temperature cooled down in the evening. It was absolutely lovely. I didn't get home till midnight driving over the pass. So, you know, yeah, I stayed a little too late, but I got home safely. Now, while you were doing power trails Friday evening, I decided I'm going to take the long way to the Tri-Cities because looking at the map, I said, I can get 5 Delora map pages if I go south to Portland and follow the Columbia River over.
Nice.
Now, that was silly. Because that was a much longer way to go to the Tri-Cities. But I did get my 5 Delora map pages. And it's really, you know, that's kind of a rough drive just to head out to go somewhere. You know, there's nothing along those sections.
True.
There's some narrowing of, I don't know, what do you call the, it's like, it's not where the river is, but it's along the river. It's just, anyway. There are some channels there where the wind just comes whipping through. I stopped for a cache alongside of the road and I had trouble opening my car door. The wind was coming through so fast.
Or if you're parked the other way around, you have no problem opening the car door.
And there it goes down the freeway.
From finding the car door. Yeah.
So
that's cool. Well, you know, and I think that's kind of the fun as well of a hashtag geocache road trip is when you have the opportunity to work on challenges. And, you know, everybody has different challenges they're working on. So, like I said, we were completing the Gladder Bladder. You were working on the DeLorme. I know other people who were coming down were working on some different challenges while they're there. And I spent some time chatting with Rock Chalk and his missus. And, you know, he's always working on some kind of challenge. So that's
yeah, yes.
Talk to him. Yeah. And speaking of, it's not really a challenge, but it's what I consider an achievement. Sunday, we kind of did a bit of light caching on our way home on Sunday. And on our route, we found my 400th earth cache.
You mean 400 in one day?
No, that's a bit
of light caching for you, isn't it?
400 lifetime earth cache finds.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What level does that get you to?
400 Earth cash mines.
Okay.
There's nothing specifically unique about 400.
Not a granite or a sandstone or, terracotta.
Yeah. 500 is where the next achievement level is.
Okay.
So. Next year.
Next week, is that what you said?
Oh, that's awesome. So that was fun. Fun way home. So we talked about the theme of the event, the way they pulled the theme in. I think we kind of mentioned it, but just in case we didn't, I thought what was really clever was with the passport. The paper that they give you. First of all, it was folded up so that it looked like a napkin when they handed it to you with a spork tucked into it. So that was kind of cute. Nice.
Spork, the most useful of the disposable utensils.
Yeah, so it was handy as well, right? And it was nice because then I didn't have ice shoved down my shirt this year off the start. So
I'm going to bring ice next year.
There you go. Well, at least you didn't shove the spork down my shirt. So that was good. So that was funny. But yeah. And then when you unfold it, so they origamied that together. When you unfold it and you open it up, what they did, and it was alluded to in some of the interviews, but they did, the code words in the caches were prices for the various food items. So every cache was named after a food item and your code word was the price for that. And as Team Squirrel said in the interview earlier, they made a little game out of it. Yes, the price. So.
And each city had a category of food. I don't remember which one it is, but you had appetizers, you had side dishes, you had entrees, and you had dessert. And each city, had one of those themes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the barbecue grill was hot fudge sundae.
Ooh. They didn't always line up with.
Didn't line up. Why didn't?
Sounds delicious.
Barbecue sundae. There you go. It's like Baked Alaska.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the themes were cute. Having like we all said earlier, the passport as a menu was genius. I wish we could have kept it because it would have been nice to look at and try to replicate.
Print it off, right? If you go to the website for the event.
Oh, sure you could, but not with the prices in it. Now you have to go out and find them all again.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the T-bone steak at $21.99. So next year, as Jen had said in the interview, STEAM.
Science, technology,
engineering, arts, and math.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot of smart scientific people out in the Tri-Cities because of the Hanford nuclear site. You get a lot of engineers, you get a lot of scientists. So they've got an incredible resource to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had a thought about that. The Geocoin. Any ideas of what it might look like? Any speculation on what they might do?
Do you think they'll do cooling towers for the
Hanford? I was wondering if the coin and the coin was a little bit steampunk this year.
It was. The utensils.
Stylized utensils.
Stylized utensils. Yeah, were actually tools of the trade. I didn't get that right away. They look like Doctor Who sonic screwdrivers to me. That's the first thing I got. But I believe it was Bryling that pointed out, they're utensils, but the fork was a grabber tool.
Mm-hmm.
The knife was a pen, but an old style pen, a fountain pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the spoon was a extendable mirror.
Cool.
There you go.
So,
Bounce shares in the chat, glow in the dark might be, part of the theme.
Could be. Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense with the Hanford tie in there.
Three Hams has a pet peeve. Arts do not belong with STEAM.
With
STEM. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, when Jen was talking about it, that's the first time I've heard the A thrown in there.
Yeah.
Having Kurtz thrown in.
Architecture? Time. That would work, right?
I guess.
But that
I
would be know. Civil engineering. Engineer. Yeah.
Engineers are very particular that architects yeah. are different.
You.
But, I'm a fan myself, but three hens and I will have to disagree on that. I like including arts and it, I think it's a well-rounded person that way.
Mm-hmm.
But. It's kind of the Renaissance man approach to things.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think the next year, if we're going to go steam, I think we can just add to it and make it steampunk.
Well, and that's what I was going with. Yeah. And I would love steampunk gadget caches.
That would be cool.
Ooh.
Crank, 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 light bulbs light up.
Bring your own coal.
Oh, you don't need to do that, but you know, have mechanics and electronics tied in together for the caches, at least the lab caches.
Yeah.
So there you go, Goblin Dust and Bounce Bounce. I'm throwing the challenge out. Steampunk gadget caches for the labs, at least for the labs.
There you go. You could buy some inexpensive wind-up radios, take them apart, and just use the wind-up part as a generator.
Yep. There you go.
I don't know. I have some wind-up flashlights. They would work for that.
Right? There's all kinds of ways. I mean, that's the beauty, right? Is you can wind up and generate electricity very easily. So then you can use that to do all kinds of neat things, especially with LEDs and such. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, wow. We've gone long. I think it's time to wrap this part of the show up and head into the after show. What do you think?
I agree. It's been a great episode talking about Tri-Cities. Like I said, one of these years, I'm actually going to make it. And
we need you out there, buddy.
I know people don't believe that, but someday it'll happen. Believe it or not. We're going to get together again next week and talk about something else. Like what? Geo tours.
Ooh.
Sounds like fun.
And then maybe, I don't know. How about some AR caches? We're going to have a guest on July 12th. Nicole from GCHQ. That's going to be exciting. I'm already excited about tuning in for that one.
Then following on July 19th, creating challenge checkers with Kev MacD. And on the 26th, I read this as ballistic cruise geocaching, but it's Baltic cruise geocaching adventure recap.
It I could think be both ballistic. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Let's send Land Monkey on a ballistic cruise.
Yeah. Not signing up for that one right away. And say,
okay, Baltic cruise. How's that?
Yeah, that's much better. So yeah. So for those who haven't heard, Mrs. Monkey and I are disappearing for a couple of weeks. We're going to miss a couple of these shows that the guys were just listing out, but we've got some great guests coming in to fill in. So it'll be awesome. And when we get back, we'll hopefully have some special audio to be able to share from the Landsharks Baltic geocaching cruise adventure we're going on.
Well, I think Land Monkey out of his own pocket ought to pay for Wi-Fi on the ship so that he can be part yeah. of the caching in the Northwest show. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. What are you going to be doing on the ship? Patrons. Just resting, talking with people? You could talk with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe when we get a few more patrons, we'll figure it out. But anyways, That in mind, we want to thank our faithful patrons that we have, especially first off, our faithful Denali level supporters, Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, Limax, and worldcaching.com. Thanks to all four of those folks who help out at the top level of patronage for this show. It is super appreciated. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, make sure you click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And every single one of our patrons is important to us and appreciated. And so we want to take a moment and do a little shout out to all of you. That'd be B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Spreader, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Dorimore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino, Seattle, Akerdoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, Curiosity Girl. And oh, that's it. We've got too many now. You did it, guys. Good job. And our newest patron for our show, Trexer Zero. Thank you for joining the team.
We thank all supporters. really appreciate all of you guys joining us. And maybe one of those supporters wanted to reach out and get in touch with some of us between now and next week. Where would they find you, Land Monkey?
So you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. We're at LandMonkeyGC. And YouTube, we're posting videos up there. We've got a few new ones up. There's more coming. So check YouTube for LANMONKEY, Land Monkey. And our blog is over at landmonkey.blogspot.ca. Follow us there. We'd love to see you guys. And my friend Witsan,
where would
we find you?
You can find me at geocaching.com in the message center. You can find me on Twitter or Facebook. Just Witsan, search for that. You'll find me. I do appreciate all the comments and follow-ups that I see there. Even if I don't respond to you, I see your message and I appreciate it. So I'm just really bad at getting back to you. It's a lot of fun. So Wits End, the only handle with host on the show with a Z in the middle of the handle. So get in touch with us. Chris of the Northwest, how about you?
What do I have in the middle of my handle? I have an I.
Mm.
Look for...
Do you have handles in the middle?
I have handles in the middle. An I and an N. I have in right in the middle.
Okay.
Look for Caching NW on Facebook or Twitter, or head on over to cachingnw.com/host and read our bios. Find out all those links we just mentioned.
That's right. And, you know, for all of you, whether you're a patron or not, we just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to us yammer on about caching in the Northwest. You know, you can be part of the show. You can give us a call. You might try dialing 253-693-TFTC. That'll work. Leave us a comment. Ask us a question. Send us some ice cold water in the desert. You can do that anytime, day or night. And of course, you know, you can email us feedback@cachingnw.com. We'll reach us right here. Your support helps to keep quality shows coming. If you like the show, please click the Patreon link over on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or whatever your favorite podcast program might be. This show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy. It's hosted by Chris Jay and some poser. The show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And stay tuned. We're going to keep yammering on. Something we call
the after show.
There you go.
Nice. Hey, folks, if you're new, the after show is just a time where, as Witsan says, we yammer on. We talk about things that we didn't cover during the main show, perhaps some spin-off topics or some tangent ideas. If you want to talk about something in the after show, just pop into our chat, use the hashtag FATAS for the after show. And we'll talk about it then. Well, folks, to start off with, I am hosting an event this Sunday on Vashon.
Ooh.
On Vashon Island. If you go to GC7, I'm suddenly forgot, 7 Romeo 92 Papa, you can look into the event, Get to the Point. The special thing about this event on Vashon, on that day, on that island, it's a big island, but it's small in the schemes of things. You'll be able to get 6 icons in a day.
Ooh.
That's an event. There will be a new virtual cache released then. There's an Earth cache right there from Oh Joy, so we know it's a good one. And yeah, of course, traditionals, a mystery, and a multi right there on the island.
Wow. I'm
trying to think of the last time that Chris in the Northwest hosted an event.
Wow.
Hmm.
Your words hurt.
I'm being legitimately serious. I can't remember the last event that you hosted.
Let's see. I hosted a birthday party.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Hold on. Let me go look at my hides.
Right. Cause there was Jim's birthday.
Oh, there was the hike to Monte Cristo.
There you go.
There was a podcast meet and greet. There was Wits End's birthday.
Yep.
And that's it.
Okay. So that's not bad. 3.
Yeah. This is my 4th. I might get this one right.
Well, you know, 4 is probably more than the average cacher host. So it's good.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember the last one. I was just asking the question. You always assume that I'm being mean.
Oh, I'm just, that's where I come from. See, now, Sprouter's not being nice. Wait, Chris is cashing on back-to-back weekends? That's crazy.
It's been known to happen.
Let's see. Team Finn has a link to my last hosted event. Yeah, fuel up for the day ahead. That was at the, what do we call that?
The McChevron?
The McChevron, yes.
Yeah. All right, so I'm taking a look. Oh, there's where Vashon Island is.
Okay. Vashon is a great location. I never considered this. It's about equidistant from Tacoma, Seattle, and Bremerton.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's on equal footing because you have to take a ferry to get there because it truly is an island.
Yeah, it's really cut off there. And it has like that little island off the island.
See, they call that an island, but it's attached by land. It's not an island.
Very skinny bit of land.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's another event coming up for IHAM's 50th birthday on July 8th. That's GC7 Romeo November Bravo 3.
Well, that's coming up fast.
It's coming up fast. Yeah. And well, he's getting old quickly.
Is it accelerating?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I won't be able to make that. So in advance, happy birthday. Congratulations on 50 years.
Seabeck Tribe said, last week you talked about the Spokane GeoTour being about trains. The Cash Dash Splash 4 is a rails and trails theme.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah. Is Cash Dash 4 in September again?
Yes.
Okay. We should maybe in July or August see if we can get the host on the show.
Of course we can.
Be good.
Keats did a hashtag FATAS because he wanted to be included in the after show. Says, less than a week until my road trip to the East Coast. My goal is to find more caches in Nova Scotia than Alberta. The current tally is 272 for Alberta, 175 for Nova Scotia.
Nice.
Seabeck Tribe says it's September 14th through 16th for Cash Dash Splash 4.
Nice.
All were.
Registration is already up for it.
Oh,
there you go.
Keepers of the Cash Flow also used hashtag FATAS. July CETO for Alberta's to check out is GC7 Quebec Echo 1Z or Zulu for my Stash Cash birthday.
It's Stash Cash's birthday, right?
Oh, okay. Stash Cash's birthday. Okay.
Nice. And that, I think that meant to say it's a July CETO for Albertans to go and check out. So yeah, GC7QE1Z. Nice.
Nice.
Keats also says, so with lab caches, should one lab cache type be really robust and successful? Is there a chance that we could see a new icon on the map? Oh, I gotcha. So maybe the gadget lab cache is very successful and they turn that into a new icon. Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to have some way of making sure they are sustainable to keep them around.
Yeah.
But it can be done. There's definitely a lot of very clever, innovative gadget caches that have had good life expectancy with clever placement. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he goes on to say, by lab caches, does that mean we should expect GCHQ is working on a new geocache type to be put onto the map? You know, they are reticent to add icons willy-nilly. So
that was always the original premise, though, when they introduced lab caches, was it's a way they can try out different ideas and different concepts, see if they fly, see how people respond to them. So lab caches were intended always to be like a lab, right? Like we're going to try out some different ideas for caches, thing called a lab cache. You get fines for them. So that's, you know, great. But that's where I was saying, like HQ actually does really want feedback on lab caches from people because that's the premise. So for example, AR caches were first tested out as lab caches. Well, now they're going to do a 2-3 month trial run on AR puzzle caches.
Is that accounts receiving?
Yeah.
No, it's pirate. Arr, Cassius.
Arr, gotcha.
Yeah.
The young member of Team Finn just finished the school year. That means there'll be a part two to this coming. And he links to a geocache. Are you smarter than a seventh grader? That's GC768 Romeo X-ray.
Hmm. There you go.
I can save you the trouble right now and just say no.
There's some serious math here. What's the slope of a line in this equation? What is B in this value of this quadratic?
Hmm.
Solve. Let Z be Z.
Yeah, just let it be.
Yeah. Find the vertex of this quadratic. What's the X value of the vertex?
Actually, you should let Z be Z. Oh. I'd be much happier with that.
Okay. So yeah, if you're good at quadratic equations, you're going to be fine.
I was.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Exactly.
When I had to know them for that 3 months and then I let it go because I don't use them anymore.
Yeah, that part of the brain went yoink.
Yeah. Well, I also have in the after show that I'm supposed to talk about the history of the bombers.
Mm.
Should we talk about it quickly and then be done with the show?
Get in there, bro.
Sure.
So let me take you back to World War II.
It's a warm summer's evening. No way.
In the Acropolis?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sheldon. So in World War II, the people who lived in Richland, that became the town, the Richland bombers there, they worked at the site. They worked and did other things. They decided that the entire town gave 1 day's salary. And that 1 day's salary could actually buy a bomber for the war effort.
Hmm.
So they bought I want to say it was a B-24 bomber for, you know, the town donated 1 day's, 1 day of salary to the war effort and bought a B-24 bomber. That's really kind of cool. A whole town gets together, you know, and we saw that during World War II. We don't see that kind of civic spirit much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's a geocoin involved. Then we're all for it.
That's different, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's an interesting little story.
That's it. But the Richland bombers, let's see if I can pull up a picture. I should have worn my t-shirt. I should have worn it over the weekend. There we go. That didn't take long to find. Ooh, that's not a great shot.
So where are we going with this? What are you looking at?
Oh, I was going to show you. It was just, it's a mushroom cloud with the R in the middle of it.
I was going to pull up the
Richland Bombers logo. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you can't find it, I'm sure we can all picture it in our
mind. Yeah, pretty much.
So anyway, I'm let's see if I can get a good shot. No, I don't get a good shot of it. Anyway. Yep, Richland Bombers.
All right.
Proud of the cloud.
Nice. Well, what do you figure? We can wrap it up for the night. It's going on 10:30 almost.
I know. How did we do this? It's so late.
The three of us are together. We haven't talked for so long.
Oh yeah. Hey folks, thank you so much for sticking with us on this long episode of Caching in the Northwest. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. And until next week, be like me and get out and get caching in the Northwest.